Ask just about any Christian how we got the Bible. The majority of people will say, I don't know. And some smart aleck will say, from chapel bookstore. And I say, well, the brilliance, you Einstein. See, interestingly, many Christians still somewhat unsure as to exactly how we come to possess the Bible. They know we got it, but they are not so sure how we got it. Consider for a moment, if you will. Let's say your friend or your coworker asked you, how do we get this Bible? And how do you know Bible is true? So far, in last studies, we've been systematically going over how we can prove to others, to the especially unbelievers, how we can prove the Bible is true. Now, this morning, we are going to go over how we got the Bible and what kinds of guidelines have been used and what kinds of heretics are out there. It is very important for us to understand those things. And next week, I'm kind of running ahead of myself, but next week we are going to go over the church history as well. Let me ask you this, just for the side note. I'm considering, with a suggestion from Jerry Hamby, compiling all of the teachings, all five teachings, including the next teaching, all five of them, put them together in the booklet format. Would you be interested in having that?
Yes.
Including all the pictures and all the insert that I already have? It will be somewhere around, I'm guessing, I don't know exact cost, so somewhere around $5 to $10. So that you can kind of refer to that. How many would you be interested in that? Wow, I better get about 15 or 20 of them. By the way, it has nothing to do with the copyright. So if you want to make a copy and give it to somebody, you're welcome to do that. Okay? Copyright belongs to God. And I'm not trying to make money on it. Well, it goes to the church fund anyway. Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how wonderful and merciful you are, O Lord, establish your word to your servant, that we may devote to you, fear your name. Let us find the wisdom and spiritual treasures from your word in this Bible. And we are asking you to open our heart to receive your wisdom. And we pray for President Obama, for his salvation, that he may understand the meaning of following the Lord, not as lip service. And we pray for our troops who are in harm's way, especially one in Afghanistan and Iraq, and wherever they are. We ask you to watch over them, and you're willing, you bring them back to their families, their home, safe and sound. We also pray for the law enforcement personnel and the firefighters around this community, especially the one whom we know and now in our fellowship, the pastor at Merrill Simon and the Don Marion, who often go into the wildfire fighting, and deputies and border patrol agents in our midst. We ask you to watch over them. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This Bible, the Bible in your hand, can be biologically divided in two sections. First one would be the Old Testament, and second one is the New Testament. And you're thinking, oh, that is so obvious, preacher. Well, it is. Let me go there. Expand a little bit more. Old Testament can be divided into five different categories. We've been memorizing index. And then we're going to talk about the New Testament more in detail. First, Old Testament can be divided into five different categories, starting with the Book of Laws, also known as Pentateuch, of course, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, right? And followed by the Book of History, starting with the Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd King, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah. Third category is the Book of Wisdom, starting with Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. And the rest of them rest of the Old Testament can be divided into two sections, major prophet and minor prophets books. And some people say, well, major prophet must be really good one, and minor prophet, and maybe they are farm teams. No, they are not. By quality, there are no difference. However, the only difference is one group, the major prophet, they are kind of long-winded preacher. Their books is long, and to compare with the minor prophet books, like Obadiah, one page, done deal. Versus Isaiah goes on and on for six chapters. New Testament can be divided in three categories, but more specifically in four. Three categories, starting with the Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And Epistles, what is an epistle? It's not a wife of an apostle. It's epistle means an open letter to the churches. Do you know that was the answer in one of the seminary students' test? What is an epistle? Wife of an apostle? Is he going to be a pastor? Woo! Epistle can be divided into two sections, Pauline epistle and general epistle. Pauline epistle means Apostle Paul is the one who authored these letters, starting with the Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, and of course it's 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon. Some Bible students, including myself, would throw the book of Hebrews in that category. Why? Because the book of Hebrews has such a similar writing style like the rest of Apostle Paul's writing style. However, we are not going to make a big deal out of it because we really don't know. And the general epistle is starting with the book of Acts and Hebrews, James, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st and 2nd and 3rd John. And the last category is an apocalyptic book known as Revelation. By the way, I want you to be careful with this word. It's not revelations. It's a revelation, singular revelation. It's not about the revelations for the future event. Rather, it's a revelation of Jesus Christ, who is going to bring all this future event. Are you with me? And don't let anybody dupe you that the book of Revelation is a difficult book. Revelation means open. It's an open book. If you just read it literally, and there is, of course, there is symbolism, that makes it a little bit difficult, but it pretty much spreads them out and as it is. It's not that difficult book. And the foremost important thing when you read the book, when you read the Bible, you ask the author, Holy Spirit, and you say, before I start to read the Bible, Holy Spirit, speak to me, explain to me. I don't get it, so explain to me. Guess what? He loves to teach you. Okay? He loves to teach you, so you write them down on a piece of paper. If you are like me, I write all over my Bible. And that's good, too. Only problem is if you lose the Bible, now you're toast. Again, many Christians may not come up with the answer why we have the New Testament. So was it plan B for God to come up with the New Testament after Old Testament is not working? Absolutely not. The Old Testament, I put it here, the usually OT, which means Old Testament, and NT stands for New Testament. Old Testament was written to show us how sinful we are without Jesus Christ, through the eyes of the law of God. And the New Testament shows us the life and the sacrifice of Jesus and his teaching through his apostles so that we can live the holy and sanctified life that brings honor and glory to him. It's mentioned clearly in Hebrews 9, chapter 9. Hebrews 9, 22, please. Hebrews, Philemon, and Hebrews, right? Am I going too fast? No. Since you guys know a lot of this already, so I didn't have a problem flying. 9:22. And according to the law, almost all things were purified with the blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission. So let me put it in this way. In other words, Old Testament is to prophesy New Testament, and New Testament is to fulfill the Old Testament. Am I making sense? Okay. Let's take a look at how we got Old Testament this time. Almost 3,500 years ago, when Moses wrote the first five books, Pentateuch, as I mentioned, in the Old Testament, and while we still have his word with us today, but the original document probably all destroyed. Remember that papyrus, the material they used to write things, they are not good quality. It's not like a piece of paper we have. This is a good quality paper. Those qualities are not more like a flimsy and easy to break. So those documents are pretty much gone and destroyed. So then the question would arise, how do we know that? How do we guarantee that the writing Moses wrote in the first five books are the same content as what we have here? The answer lies in how those words arrive in our hand. In the ancient time, I mentioned this in previous teaching briefly, there are a group of people known as the scribes. All they do, from the morning until they go to bed, they copy the letters, the old document, in the Pentateuch, and literally hand by hand because they did not have a printing machine. They are very meticulous and methodical people. And one group of scribes known as Masoret, they set its standard much higher than all the other scribes. Masoret count every single letters and words and verse in the original Old Testament document in order to preserve its accuracy. Then again, another obvious question would arise. If these people, day in, day out, 365 days a year, or 360 days in Jewish calendar, if they did that every day, and that we should have thousands of manuscript, Old Testament manuscript, how come we barely have anything available from that the scribes wrote? The reason why we don't have them is, here it goes back to those scribes, Masoret. Masoret, they took such a pride in what they do. If they make a copy of the whole Old Testament, and they start to see the wear and the sign of fade, guess what they do? They destroy it, burn it, or bury it on the ground. They literally destroy it, and they start a brand new document. Another thing that you have to understand is that majority of the document was kept where? In the temple. And during the war, guess which one get burned up all the time? Temple. What's inside? Document. You guys remember the Qumran, the Dead Sea Scroll, we studied about that one? There, in that place, you could find entire set of the Old Testament with the exception of the book of Esther. Of course, other people found the book of Esther and somewhere else. In your bulletin, you have a couple sheets of the insert. Could you hand it to me? There. Here, there's a timeline of the Bible translation history starting going back to 1400 BC and all the way to the New King James 1982. Do you have this? You don't have this. Why didn't you raise your hand? Hey. Okay, Pastor Jack, we need a... Anybody don't have this? Raise your hand. Okay, we have a serious problem here. It's Mike Pease's fault. Anything wrong, just throw it at him. He has a big shoulder. He can take it. Keep your hands up, please. This timeline... for the timeline of the Bible translation history is probably a whole lot more than what you like to know, but it's a good thing to have it if you choose to dig deeper. The ancient Hebrew already defined the body of its scriptures. The Word of God was recognized from the beginning, and there is no doubt which book belonged to the Old Testament scripture. Jews did not arrange the way the Christian did. However, some books are combined, like the Old Testament and the, remember, we studied 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Kings, and we also know the 1 and 2 Chronicles. Those were not separated in the original Hebrew document. There were one king, one chronicle, one Samuel. Later it was divided. Listen, Jesus verified Old Testament writing were always scripture when he quoted from the Old Testament and claimed it is written. Remember when Satan took Jesus out to the wilderness to tempt him for 40 days, 40 nights? How did Jesus counteract against him? Did he pull out his taser gun and buzz him? Or laser beam, just whack him in the side? No. He simply used the Word of God, just like you and I would use. He simply said, it is written. Apostle Paul had no doubt that the Jews was interested with the very oracle of God. And let me put it this way. Church inherited the Old Testament, and Jesus defended, encouraged it, and exemplified faithful submission to this writing as inspired canon. And some of you are thinking, okay, I don't get that word. What is a canon? Is it something we're going to shoot? No, that's not the same kind of spelling. I'm going to explain to you shortly, so don't run ahead of me. Still need to go over the New Testament. How do we get the New Testament? We explained to you before. We learned it. New Testament was written between the 35 AD, 35 and 100 AD. Unlike the scribes who copied Old Testament, and these people who copied the New Testament book, they didn't feel that they had to bury it or destroy it because there's a little sign of fade or wear. As a result, we have literally thousands of manuscripts. Over 25,000 manuscripts of the New Testament. Now, let me explain to you about the canon. Canonization of the Bible. The word canon derived from the Greek word canon. And you're thinking, oh yeah, that's difficult. Well, spelling was one letter different. Instead of C-A-N-O-N, K-A-N-O-N, it's signifying the measuring rod. Measuring rod. Thus, to have a Bible canonized means that it has been measured by the standard or test of the divine authority. It came to a collection of books or the writing accepted by apostle and leadership of the early Christian church as a base for the Christian belief. In other words, it is the standard by which all Christians throughout the generation live and worship. You with me? So how was canon decided? In the Old Testament case, the book was accepted by the Jewish community originated over a period of 1,000 years. Here are the guidelines that they use in the Old Testament. Number one, was the book written by the prophet of God? If it was written by the prophet of God, generally, prophet's book would have a statement somewhere, thus says the Lord, or the word of the Lord came. Good example is Hosea. It's starting with, the word of the Lord came to Hosea, son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah. Remember that portion? You're thinking, no, I didn't get it. That's okay. Second guideline would be that did the miraculous sign or accuracy of the fulfillment of the confirmation of the prophet's message. During the Old Testament time, prophet prophesy. People listen, and if the prophecy does not come true, guess what they do? They took the prophet out to the outside of the city, and they stoned him to death. That probably would take care of a lot of preachers around here. Third guideline, was the book internally consistent with the revelation of God found in the teachings of other canonical books, especially what the Lord gave through Moses. So Old Testament was canonized in the Council of Jamnia in AD 90. And you're thinking, am I in a Bible college or seminary? Yeah, it kind of is a Reader's Digest version of the Bible college or seminary. This is a good thing for you to learn. All right, this time we're going to take a look at the guideline of canonization for the New Testament, starting with the dead book come through the apostles of the Lord through a person under the guidance of apostles, such as Luke or Mark. You remember John Mark, the author of the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to Mark? Second category, guideline is, did the book come with the power of God and be effective for changing lives? Third guideline is, was generally accepted by the people of God? You see, the determination of the New Testament canon took place in the period of years reaching its final form and the Synod of the Carthage in AD 397. I know you're thinking, I don't need to know this. Probably you're right. Just put it in the back of your mind. Now, by now, someone would have a question. In what authority do they have right to choose which book goes into the Bible? Who gave their authority, right? Let me put it this way. The same God who chose 60 authors to write 66 books would choose right people to select all these books. Pastor Jack, somebody did not have a sermon outline, not the complete one. Give one to Becky. Becky just handed. No, you got one? Okay. Then again, some other people will say, yo, preacher, how about this book known as Apocryphal or Last Book? That's a mouthful, isn't it? Apocryphal. And some of you never heard it. I'm glad you're thinking about that, so let me explain to you. Apocryphal means hidden. It means hidden. It's there a group of 14 books which were written between 400 to 100 B.C. I want you to pay attention to that time period, 400 to 100 B.C. Okay? During the time, those apocryphal books are not considered canonical. It was not canonized thing. But it was included in the Septuagint and Greek Orthodox, Latin Bible known as the Vulgate, as a part of Old Testament. But it was not included in the Old Testament scriptures. And they are usually omitted in the Protestant Bible. Listen, while the Roman Catholic and Greek Orthodox tend to include the apocryphal books, Protestant people are not including that. Here are the reasons. Number one, the Jews never considered them as a part of Hebrew scriptures. They didn't consider that. During the time, there was a silence between the end of the Old Testament, last book of Malachi, which was written 430 B.C. So draw the line here. He's a 430 B.C. And Jesus, right before Jesus, who was the last Old Testament prophet? Last Old Testament prophet? John the Baptist. That's right. When he came to the picture, he was somewhere in the AD 20. During that time, for 430 years, 450 years, there was no voice of God, no oracle of God, no word of God to the Hebrew people. There was a dead silence. That's what the Hebrew people said. But these apocryphal books were written during the what time? 400 to 100 B.C. That is the reason why the Jewish people completely ignoring the apocryphal books. You understand me? Okay, don't fall asleep. Remember, I have this mobile pulpit. I can go right in front of you. Jesus and apostles never considered apocryphal book as a part of the scripture. Although there were hundreds of quotations of the Old Testament from in the New Testament, and Jesus quoted a lot of Old Testament books. Remember? And the apostles quoted a lot of Old Testament, but they never once quoted apocryphal books. They referred once, Jude, referred the book of Enoch. He mentioned in verse 14 and 15 in Jude. But that doesn't guarantee that book of Enoch is a part of the scripture. And it's not even including the Roman Catholic apocryphal books. Third reason why we don't consider the apocryphal as a canonized portion is unlike Old Testament prophets, none of the books of apocryphal ever claimed divine authority. Fourthly, this is the main reason, in my opinion, why apocryphal should not be canonized. It contains the teachings that are clearly unbiblical. For example, praying for the dead. Let me ask you this. Is it biblical or not biblical to pray for dead? Not biblical. If somebody says, let's pray for the so-and-so who is dead. You are not doing that. Okay? And they also teach the salvation by works. And they even include that God is somewhat encouraging other people to lie. Some people, then somebody will say, what about those last gospel by this church authority, like Dan Brown's idea, you know, the Da Vinci Code, those last books? And like four good examples are Gospel of Thomas, Gospel of Peter, Gospel of Jude. And what about those books? They are also last gospel, also known as Gnostic Gospel. It teaches that Jesus was God. They don't deny that, but he was not quite human. This is a heresy known as a Gnosticism. Let me explain to you why this is a heresy. Gnosticism went around for a second century and sometimes in the first century as well. Why did Jesus die? Come on, pay attention here. To pay our sin. He died as a ransom for us, right? What is the qualification of dying for us? He had to be right sacrifice. He's a perfect sacrifice, is it not? To be perfect sacrifice, he had to be a human. If they denied him being 100%, not denying the 100% God, but yet denying the human, that means he's not qualified. That means his death on the cross is complete in vain. In God says that your sin, my sin, is still intact. And according to Apostle Paul, we are in a horrible situation. Most pitiful, Apostle Paul says. Without Jesus' human sacrifice being on the cross, then you really cannot have a full salvation. Yes? Docetism means that Jesus was God only, not human. You with me? That is correct spelling. No, I didn't make a mistake on that thing. I know you have a lot of new words. Gnostic. Gnostic is, you don't pronounce the G on the way on the top line. Gnostic gospel. Gnostic gospel, docetism. It's not docido, you know, doing docido. That's not it. Now, we are going to take a look at two different versions of Bible. They call it Bible, but they are not Bible. This is the more modern thing. First one is the Jesus Seminar's Scholar Version. Jesus Seminar's Scholar Version. Late 1980s began the wide exposure of the Jesus Seminar, a group of extreme left scholars who would study passage of the gospel. Then they gathered together and they decide. Among what Jesus said in Red Letter Bible, and they said, did Jesus say, I am the way and the truth and the life. Come unto the Father. But by me. And anybody who agrees with that, raise your hand. So they count them. Okay, majority says, or majority denied. Okay, this is not what Jesus said. That's how they decide. In other words, they pretty much deny everything. This group likewise took upon himself the task of evaluating, overthrowing an entire consensus of the Christian history in granting the second century Gnostic Bible, a gospel, the Thomas, Gospel of Thomas. And in if the truth be told, the fellows of the Jesus Seminar believed the Gospel of Thomas be more reverent, and useful to historical inquiry than the Gospel of John. That is a heresy from hell. Now, we have another version that you need to be aware of. Oxford Inclusive Version. Have you ever heard that? Oxford Inclusive Version. If you haven't, good for you. This version seeks to introduce a Christian, a politically correct version of the New Testament and the Psalm, starting with the New Revised Standard Version. Nothing wrong with the New Revised Standard Version. But what they did is a problem. Such a word, father/mother God. And saying divine child instead of son of God. Or son of man. You know, one of the favorite calling that Jesus called himself is son of man. They don't call it son of man. They call it divine child. Let me give you a quick example. I want you to turn to the Matthew 3:9 and see what you see here. Matthew 3:9, and then when you're done, look up the screen, please. You there yet? Yes. Matthew 3:9. If you're in the Old Testament, you're missing the point. Okay, according to Oxford Inclusive Version, they read, we have Abraham as our father, nothing wrong with that, and they add this line, Sarah and Hagar as our mothers. Let's read Matthew 3:9 in our Bible. And think not to say that within ourselves we have Abraham to our father. So we have an agreement there. For I say unto you that there's nothing about Sarah or Hagar as mother. And God is able of this stone to rise up in children unto Abraham. John 3:16. Yeah. Oxford Inclusive Version says, for God so loved the world that God, what is it missing? He. Instead of he, it says God. Okay? I can live with that. Gave God's only child. So that everyone who believes in that child may not perish, but may have eternal life. Several things I have a problem with. Number one is God. In John 3:16, you guys know this by heart. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten, what? Son. Exactly. So that anyone whosoever believe in him should not believe in him, right? Should not perish. It doesn't say may. It should not perish. Have everlasting life. This is the problem. May. It's like, depends on the situation. You might. Maybe you will have eternal life. Maybe you will not. It's not a definite thing. Listen, there is no other gospel other than the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? Somebody asked me, what is the best verse version of the Bible? The one you can understand and you can follow. However, it has to be Holy Bible. Okay? If you want to buy different versions of the Bible, go buy from the chapel bookstore. However, I'm going to ask you to be careful. So how many of you guys have a New International Version, NIV? Good for you. But do not buy today's NIV. Do you hear me? Today's NIV is about the same as Oxford Inclusive Version. It does not offend, it does not offend, want to offend any gender, so it becomes his horse, literally slash. Get a life. Huh? Today's, I think it has in the chart there. Yeah. Maybe I deleted it because it's not worth it. It's somewhere around the 1990s, 1990 or 2000. Zondervan came up with the today's New International Version. Stay far away from it. Galatians 1, please. Galatians 1. By the way, don't close your Bible until I finish. Cheyenne, you're awake. Verse 6, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be what? Accursed. That's a serious damnation. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preach any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Do you think it's rather clear? Yeah. A friend of mine said to me, I think I'm going to read the book of Gospel of Thomas, entire Gospel of Thomas. I took him out to the desert and put him out of misery. I thought about it. Just kidding. I didn't do it. Listen, if you have enough time to read this kind of garbage, use that time to read and learn about the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Why in the world would you put yourself under the influence of these kinds of heresies unless you choose to study and so you can fight against it? Don't just read the gospel of Thomas, gospel of Peter just for fun of it. I can recommend you many books like this one. Bible have survived through the tremendous persecution by the kings and emperors, tyrants, and even clergies. As just like the Lord prophesied. Matthew chapter 5, please. Matthew 5. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Next time we are going to study history of church, and you will find how many people, how many clergies try to keep the Bible, the Word of God, from the believers of Jesus Christ. And you may say, well, that's during the medieval time. Really? Do you want me to show you how many churches in the United States trying to keep this true Word of God away from the people? They come up with a fancy word, totally fancy word, social gospel. There is a Greek word for that. Hogwash. Exactly. Let's remind a few things for ourselves. First one, don't neglect the Bible. If you do, you will neglect your own spiritual health. Okay? Second thing to remember, well-worn Bible is a sign of a well-fed soul. If you don't have a daily devotion every day, not once in a blue moon. By the way, what's a blue moon look like? Blue? Wow, brilliant. If you do read the Bible once in a while and you pray when you are in tight corner, it is no wonder why you stumble. Third thing to remember, sin will keep you from the Bible, and the Bible will keep you from sin. Okay? Fourthly, the Word of God is perfect. I mean perfect. It's powerful enough to transform us and can give us wisdom to obey His command. John 14:15. I told you, don't close the Bible. Wayne, open the Bible. Oh, John 14:15. You there yet? If you love me, keep my commandment. Jesus speaking. And the next chapter, John 15:10. If you keep my commandment, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in His love. To be in God's love, guess what you have to do? Obey the Word of God. To obey the Word of God, guess what? You have to know the Word of God. Okay? Stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word. We're asking you to go with us. Remind us that you are perfect God and your Word is perfect. And your Word is something we need to obey every day for the rest of our lives. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.